Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma for Tuesday, November 20th, 2012. I'm your host, Heather Stagel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I do once a month on Blog Talk Radio. This show is one of the many ways I help equip individuals to lead organizational change at Enclaria. The Change Agent's Dilemma is how to influence change without authority. And my goal with this show is to provide ideas and share stories to help you do just that. Today, my guest is Martha Laguerre, who is here to help answer the question, projects mean change. Are you ready? Martha has consulted with organizations from startups to Fortune 100 companies for almost 20 years. As CEO of the Gantt Group, Martha focuses on programs that leverage organization strategy, align leadership, and achieve desired results through successful project execution. She has designed and delivered numerous seminars that increase organization effectiveness in the U.S., Canada, Mexico, and a number of countries in Europe. Prior to founding the Gantt Group in 1996, Martha was a principal in a San Francisco Bay Area consulting firm that facilitated companies' change management projects. She is certified as a project management professional, a PMP, a change management professional, a CMP, and she's a mediator for the American Arbitration Association. And I should also mention that she and I are both board members and in Organization Change Alliance here in Atlanta. And Martha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with this idea of projects mean change. Like, what do you mean by that?
So I think a lot of times people in project management think of change management as the product, not the process. So they think we're going to have a new software program and the people will just have to do X instead of Y. Or, you know, we're developing a new product and the customer wants it in green instead of in blue. But the reality is organizational change goes on within projects and around the project environment. So in order to be effective project managers, people need to understand the organizational side of change as well as the technical part of change.
Well, would you say that all projects are change projects? How can you tell that a project needs change management?
Well, I would say no, not everyone is, because some projects are essentially making a product that's just tweaking what the last one was. So one of our clients is an automotive manufacturer, a parts manufacturer. And sometimes they're just making a sensor that is a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller, is made out of tungsten instead of something else. So those projects, as long as they're making them on the same manufacturing line and they have the same people and they're in the same plant, they're not really a lot of external changes that are going on. But if they take that same sensor and they decide to move it to a plant in Mexico that hasn't built that exact same product before, then that would require some change. So they're going into a new environment. They're working with a different culture. They're working with people who speak a different language. They may be working with people who have their manufacturing line set up differently, so they have to retool the line. They may be having unrealistic expectations about time, because even if you say deadline in the United States or deadline in Germany and deadline in Mexico, people know what the word means, but culturally it has a different impact in some places. So
yeah,
there could be a lot of changes that go on.
Okay. Yeah, one of the ways that I like to distinguish is if you are changing the way other people work or changing what they do, if it impacts people, then it probably requires some level of change management outside of project management.
I totally agree with you, Heather. So I think the key is recognizing that change is needed and not just assuming that people will figure it out for themselves. People are smart, but they need help in terms of doing that.
So what would you say are the differences between change management and project management? Even definition-wise, like how would you differentiate the two?
Well, to make it overly simplistic, PMI, the Project Management Institute, talks about project management as having skills and knowledge to accomplish objective results. So it's really about getting most often a product, you know, or even if it's a service, getting the end result functional. And it doesn't talk about the process as much. So in project management, there are 9 knowledge areas, things like scope, quality, time, cost, that are the primary ones. And then there's supporting functions like procurement, risk management, communication, and HR. So you would think that communication and resources side of things would help, and it could. That all has to get integrated in some way, and that's their 9th knowledge area, is the integration.
So it's sort of an add-on.
Well, yeah, it's an add-on, but it's also the thing that pulls it all together. And I think that that's where a lot of project managers are weak. They think the thing that's going to pull it together is the software, as opposed to the management skills that they have to have. Mm-hmm. So I'm biased in this, and I am not a straight PMI believer, in the sense that I think you really have to have change management skills in order to manage projects. Change management is really, I think of it as the people side of project management. It's assuming that you need to understand some behavioral science and you need to use that to get people to buy into things, to get them to motivated and to be clear about it. So I think my personal bias, or I guess I could call it professional bias because I've been doing it for so long, is that project managers really need to have change management skills.
So if, let's say someone listening to this right now is a project manager and they say, yeah, there's something that is missing here as far as my project goes because this doesn't seem to be going where I want it to go. Where would you suggest they start?
Well, that's a great question. I think there are 3 basic steps to managing change. And the first one is to understand change at multiple levels and multiple perspectives. And from a project management point of view, people are probably familiar with a stakeholder assessment. So who are the people who have vested interest in the project? Stakeholders are not those people that have the sticks in the hand and are looking for vampires, although that's popular these days. You know, we're really looking at stakeholders are the people who have some kind of vested interest, either positive or negative, relative to a project. And as we know, especially in cross-functional teams and projects that go across a number of different functional areas, there are occasional turf issues, or they're making sure that my department, you know, has its vested interest covered. So being able to step back and get into the mindset and walk in the shoes of the financial department or, you know, the HR department or the production people or the development folks who are all engineers or whatever your group might be, you have to think about it from different people's perspective. So that means looking at the stakeholders on both a departmental and an individual level and saying, what kind of interest do they have in this project? How much power do they have relative to the project and to the organization as a whole? And then thirdly, what's their attitude about it? You know, are they happy with it? Are they trying to sabotage you? Are they kind of neutral because they got too much other going on and they don't really care? But whoever they are, you need to look at them and assess them accurately and then figure out how you're going to deal with them, looking at things from their perspectives. Want me to go on to the second step, or you have questions? In the
sure. No. Well, I was just going to say, every time I hear somebody say stakeholders from now on, I'm going to have that image of people running after vampires.
I kind of joke about it, but I think that in some ways it gives you an idea of, you know, some people are really supporting your projects and the others would just as soon stab you with that stick. So
that is so true. So
the
true.
The second thing that you really need to do is to choose the most appropriate approach to your project and communicate it clearly. So most people in project management have a pretty clear methodology. Well, that might be a stretch. Let me just say, most people in large organizations have a methodology that they're supposed to use, you know, when they're looking at their projects. And frankly, it doesn't matter if it's six phases or 10 steps. Most of them are going to do essentially the same thing. They're going to look at what's the scope of the work. They're going to break it down into manageable pieces. They're going to figure out if they have the right people with the right skills to execute those pieces. They're going to estimate how much time it's going to take to do that. They're going to figure out what sequence they're going to happen in. They're going to develop a schedule. They're going to figure out a budget for it. They're going to look at what kind of risk there could be and hopefully plan to prevent that risk if it occurs. And then they're going to track and manage it. So, you know, some version of that is going to be the project management methodology. Once you look at that, then the question becomes, what kind of change management methodology are you going to be using when you go through there? What does that really mean in terms of how are you going to approach any particular piece of that? So I'm sure you're familiar with Kotter's 8 steps. Mm-hmm. So Kotter's probably one of the most famous people relative to the project change management start, where you're looking at creating urgency, making sure there's a group that's going to guide it through, being clear on what the vision is, you know, getting people to understand what that is and buy into it, you know, getting broad support, generating some, you know, short-term wins that are moving people ahead, don't give up, you know, and incorporate that into the culture. So, you know, you could use that. The Gantt Group, our company, has a methodology that's about vision, alignment, execution, gets results. And, you know, obviously there are subsets within that. And, you know, there are a number of other methodologies out there. There's one, ProSci has one called ADCAR, Awareness, Desire, Knowledge, Ability, and Reinforcement. So we're applying whatever methodology we choose
sure.
to the project.
And I should add that I have my own too, called the Irresistible Change Guide. It's a whole toolkit that people can use if they're going through their project. to figure out, okay, what's the impact on people? What was that?
Yeah, tell me a little more about that.
Well, sure. I think, I've used this with senior leadership teams, and I've also used it with project teams, and it really works well for project teams because you have something specific that you're trying to get done.
Mm-hmm.
But you start with of where are we now? What's the organization look like? What are we trying to get away from by going through this change? What do we want to make sure we don't break in the process and things like that? And it leads you through an exercise to figure out all those things. And along with that is where's our energy coming from? And then you look at the opposite side of that, the vision, where are you trying to get to? And there's a whole exercise about figuring out where you're really going and clarifying that. You look at the gap between the two and figure out what's really changing here, because it's never what it appears. Like you were saying with a project, it's, you might have the steps that you go through to implement the project itself, but there's always something else that's actually changing and needs to change in order to really get it done. From there, you look at, okay, if that's the gap we're trying to cross, what are the potential obstacles that we might face? And most of those are going to be around resistance. And I've got 8 sources of resistance in there that you can go through and figure out which one is most likely. And then I have exercises in there about getting, like you were saying, the stakeholder analysis. I call it getting leadership buy-in and support. And then what things can I create? I call structural influence. What things can I create to help people change? And then how do I personally influence change? So those are all the elements that I included in the Irresistible Change Guide that's available on my website. But
that sounds really great. And I think that's the kind of thing that you want to take into account when you're developing a communication strategy. So that step 2, where choosing the approach and communicating it clearly, once you've got some kind of a methodology down, you can say, well, here are the players, here's what we're trying to create. How do we want to treat them differently, given who they are and what their vested interest is? So that communication strategy is the second major step.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, the project management part is the execution of it all, and I think people generally do that fairly well. Although I will say that if you look at the research, we're still having roughly a 70% failure rate on projects. And by failure, what I mean is that either what people installed isn't used in the same way that they expected, or it just doesn't work, or, they don't get the results they want. Most projects have a 35% expectation of their return on investment. They don't get what was expected. However,
right.
I will say McKinsey did a study, and it's in the McKinsey Quarterly from several years ago, that showed that with change management skills, most organizations got 143% return on investment. So it's those skills in change management which are really critical, and that's what step 3 is about. The part about managing change is facing your own fear. We talk about those people being afraid and resisting, but part of it is that we ourselves need to change ourselves, and we need to develop skills in order to do this more effectively. And the way to do that is assess your skill level, and then pick some things to work on, practice with it, get feedback, and get better. It's an ongoing process, probably for the rest of our lives,
mm-hmm.
And
there are so many people, it seems like, when they're trying to influence change in an organization, their main tactics are dropping hints and wishful thinking.
I will tell you, Ginni Rometty, the CEO of IBM, said, "Every time I learned the most, I took a risk. Growth and comfort do not coexist." And I think that line about growth and comfort do not coexist is really critical to think of in terms of ourselves as well as the them that we're trying to manage out there. So we do have to take the risk and we have to try, and it won't be perfect every time. And that's okay, because we're learning as we go. And I think that's what we get to learn is how to continue learning. And that's what life and work and a lot of business is all about. We're having to always reassess and restructure as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I could quote a couple of famous project management people, one being Steve Jobs, of course. Everybody knows, you know, what a control freak he was in terms of looking at what was important in terms of change, identifying that big goal. You know, he planned every story, and he built in the emotional part of that story so that people could see what was in it for them. He gave you a structure, and he typically did, you know, that rule of three things. You might notice, just like these three steps that I'm talking about today. You know? And he tried to make it simple, meaningful, make it visual, you know, and get people to participate. And then the other project manager that I think of who has also become famous is Lady Gaga. You know? Now, you might not think of her as a famous project manager, but there's a management school in Copenhagen that is doing a special graduate work class on her. And it talks about how important she is in terms of reinventing herself and what kind of a leadership style she has. So Lady Gaga's main premise in terms of getting people to buy in, and this is why she has, what, like the most people, you know, on Twitter, or I don't know that that's true, but she has quite a few. It's about who am I? And so she makes herself vulnerable about what shaped her as an individual, what helped create her character, and she says, who are we? And she brings the people to her with, like, we are the people who have to take risks. We have these group values, our group behaviors, and the idea about where are we going. And that's how she gets her followers to join her and move ahead. And that's why she has so many people saying that this is a person that I admire and that I want to support. And goodness knows, she's making a fortune doing it. So...
So the person listening to this right now, who knew that you were going to get a management lesson from Lady Gaga today?
Exactly. But that's the great thing about change management is we have to be open to all the different possibilities. We can't go around with, as the Brits would say, blinkers on. You know, those little things that go on the sides of horses' faces so that they don't get distracted, you know, as they're pulling their carriages. But we can't have a blinkered approach to the world we live in. We have to broaden our perspective and look at what lessons can we learn from everywhere. And we can't transform our organizations unless we transform ourselves.
Yes. So transforming ourselves then. So if we're looking at the skills that are required for project managers in the realm of change management, what are some of the key skills that you would say?
Well, I think there are a lot of them. And in fact, I sometimes use this assessment that has 400 skills that you can assess. And if anybody is masochistically interested in that, I would be happy to send them a copy of it. But at a high level, I'll quote Peter Block, who wrote a book called Flawless Consulting. And when I first got into consulting, I found that his book was particularly helpful to me. And he lists a number of interpersonal skills, one being assertiveness, two, supportiveness, and sometimes those, you know, where's the balance between those? Mm-hmm. Another one is confrontation, and doing that in a good and positive way, listening skills, contracting skills so that you get some kind of agreement with the client or the people that you're doing the work with, an ability to diagnose things, understanding management styles, like whether you're a dominant personality or whether you're conscientious or whatever, you know, version you want to use, whether it's like DISC or Myers-Briggs or any other thing, but understanding how people's personal management styles affect things, looking at group process, giving and receiving feedback, and making decisions. So those are some interpersonal skills that are typically really critical. And then we all need consulting skills, whether or not we're consultants. If we are managing projects, we are having to consult to the organization, and that means we need to be able to negotiate. We need to be able to help people get motivated. We need to deal with people's concerns about loss of control. We need to be able to look at various things beneath the external. So if somebody is resisting, how do we get below the surface to say what's really going on? Understanding the political climate, you know, resisting the urge to just tidy things up really fast and move on. I mean, that's one I have to work on all the time because I like completion. I like things all wrapped up and tidy in a box, and I want to draw conclusions right away. And so sometimes I have to really work to stay open and not force a conclusion before it's ready, you know? All of those kinds of things.
Yeah, those are great. I think some of the hardest that you listed, because, you know, you went through those like, here, just you didn't really do
plunk,
this, but
plunk,
it seems
plunk,
like a
plunk,
list of
plunk.
Like, oh, just do these, you know. But some
yeah.
of those are really hard to do,
and it's
like
a
the confrontation piece and the feedback piece.
Yeah, I mean, just listening. If we really learn how to do that, you know, we could spend 80 years. So you know, it's the kind of thing that's not simple. We can get a good handle on it, but we can always go deeper and deeper and deeper in terms of working with those things.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got, because those things are so difficult to do, I've got, since we brought up the Irresistible Change Guide before, I'll just say I've got a couple of chapters in there that address some of those things. One is about uncovering resistance.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you don't ever want to overcome resistance. It doesn't work. But uncovering it, understanding it, like you said, getting below the surface. I've got exercises that you can do with individuals but also groups to figure out, okay, what is the real source of resistance that's going on here, not just the symptoms that you experience as a change agent or a project manager. And then another chapter about starting conversations, like, okay, I know I have to talk to this person. It's going to be really difficult to do. What are some of the things that I can prepare and think through in advance to make sure that I feel more comfortable, more confident, more clear about what I'm trying to get done in this conversation? And so both of those, my clients have found help immensely.
That's great. And I think it's so critical to understand ourselves before we understand others, because if we have a certain style or preference or way of going about things and someone else is not like us, how can we look at things from their perspective,
mm-hmm.
and position what we want or need in a way that they understand that it's in their best interest as you go through? Great.
So true. So, Martha, we need to wrap it up here. We're at the end of our time. But where can people find out more about this topic or about you?
Well, we have a website, www.gantgroup.com, but I will say at this point, two T's in Gantt, like Henry Gantt, who invented the charts. But I will say we're in a major revision, so the new good website won't be up till the end of December. But if people wanted to just send me an email, I'd be happy to send them a copy of that skills assessment, and that would be Legare, L-E-G-A-R-E, at Gantt Group, with two T's, .com. Or you could call me.
Well, Martha, thanks so much for being here. I enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks so much for having me, Heather. It was my pleasure, and I hope everybody's gotten something out of this and shares back with us some of the things that they've learned and some of the things that they care about.
Yes, that would be great. So the next show is coming up on Tuesday, December 18th. My guest will be Linda Hoops of Resilience Alliance, and we'll be talking about how to help yourself and others adapt to change. If you would like to be notified of future episodes and other resources to help you influence change in your organization, I recommend that you sign up for my monthly newsletter at enclaria.com. Not only will you receive helpful tips on a monthly basis, but when you subscribe, you also receive a free chapter of the Irresistible Change Guide that we discussed. And you can also find the Irresistible Change Guide at the website enclaria.com as well. Thank you so much for listening to The Change Agent's Dilemma. Until next time, take care and best wishes for your change initiative.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Yeah.